We are all accustomed to see infants or babies walking around with soothers in their mouth, right? Or feeding with a bottle of milk. I still have a few at my home, soothers and bottle of milks. And we're all accustomed to see that. It's a normal thing to see that. But what would you say if you saw me walking around preaching with a soother in the mouth? Or what would you say if you saw Pastor Felix walking around with a bottle of milk in his mouth? You would probably think that something is wrong with the pastoral staff here at Central, right? And you would be correct. Maybe you would even have some concerns about us, and you would have the right to be concerned. It is normal to see an infant with a soother and a bottle of milk, but not an adult. I read a story about a while ago. It was a big news in the United States, in the state of Illinois, and probably you'll remember the story. There was a big controversy when it was discovered that a mother, she was still nursing her 8-year-old son. I know, I see ladies doing, oh. When interviewed on Good Morning America, the mother said, "Kyle, that's her son, is my only son and he's very important to me and he's going to be allowed to nurse until he decides to finish weaning himself." After the show aired, the state of Illinois pressed charges against this woman. The boy was put in a temporary foster home and the mother was subjected to counseling and evaluations. After a while, they returned the baby. I mean, the son, not the baby. You see, the mind thinks automatically, the baby. But they returned the son back to her. So why was there such an uproar over a mother nursing her 8-year-old son? Why do you think? Well, the answer is very obvious. We believe that at some point, children must move beyond milk, right? We believe that wholeheartedly. A child must grow to eat solid food. The mother breastfeeding her 8-year-old son made the headlines. But let me tell you, there are so many Christians today who spend years in church but never move beyond infancy, yet this sad fact rarely makes the headlines because we don't like to talk about it. There are so many Christians in our churches who have been drinking out of a baby bottle for many years. There is a widespread problem of spiritual immaturity among Christians today. Paul explains this problem in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me in 1 Corinthians 3, and verses 1 and 2. And Paul says here, once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says here, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." And verse 2, he said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it," meaning solid food, "and even now you are still not able." This disease, I call it the spiritual immaturity disease, has affected Christianity all around the world. So when you have a disease, in order to treat it, you need to find the symptoms. So in the sermon today, I'd like to look at 5 symptoms of this disease I call spiritual immaturity or spiritual stunted growth. And I want you to look at those 5 symptoms and see, do you have those symptoms in your life? And then you'll have to take some actions if you see that you have those symptoms. So we'll look at the passage in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. We'll stay for the whole sermon in this passage from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. I'll give you a minute to find Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. And we're looking here at 5 symptoms of the disease of spiritual immaturity. And starting in verse 11, Paul says, of whom we have much to say. He's talking about previously about Jesus being the high priest. He says, of whom we much to say and hard to explain, since you have become what? Dull of hearing. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what are the five symptoms of spiritual immaturity from this passage? Number one, the first symptom is a lack of understanding. If you look at verse 11 again, it says here, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer what? Some translations, NIV says, you no longer try to understand. Some of them say dull of hearing or hard of hearing. So the Greek actually, the literal Greek text says they were hard of hearing or dull of hearing. Now, it wasn't that these Christians needed hearing aids. The problem was not with their ears. They could hear it perfectly. The problem was that they could not comprehend and understand what they were hearing. They weren't understanding the deep things of God. They could not understand the word of God. Something was in their life that they could not understand. The Christians that Paul addresses here in this book, they kept eating and eating the spiritual food, but they never digested the word of God. They never internalized the word of God. They never understood the word of God. And that's the problem. That is the first symptom of spiritual immaturity, a lack of understanding of the word of God, of the truth of God. These people attended Bible studies and classes, and they listened to sermon after sermon, but they never truly observed what they heard. They never understood it or internalized it. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, he says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. It's the same point that he's making in Hebrews. If you are spiritually immature, you're not going to have an understanding, a correct understanding of the word of God. So this is the first symptom of spiritually immature Christians. They lack understanding of the word of God. Let's move on. The second symptom of spiritual immaturity is found in verse 12. And it says here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So the second symptom is a lack of appetite for solid foods. These people still want to eat what? Milk. They don't want to move on to solid foods. They are content to have just milk and nothing else. After all, why trying to have solid foods? Because solid food requires much more work than drinking the milk. And it requires some chewing to do. It's work. So these people stay with milk for the rest of their lives because it's easier. They don't want to put any effort, any work into this. It is much easier to have milk than solid foods. In Hebrews 5 here in this chapter, Paul is saying that he wants to be able to explain so much more. If you look in the context, he said, I would like to explain to you so much more about the priesthood of Christ, but you wouldn't be able to understand. That's what he's saying, because you're spiritually immature. And then he says, if you go to Hebrews 6 and verse 1, right at the beginning of chapter 6, he says there, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go to perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Some of the translations say, let us move towards maturity. He says, let's put everything behind. I want you to move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ. I want you to go deeper. Let's put that immaturity behind and let's move on to maturity. Unless we move on to maturity, we'll never be able to understand the deeper things about Christ and His Word. The Hebrews had not learned as much as they should have. And Paul is not talking here about the new converts, because some of us might think, oh, these are new converts, okay? These are people that just came to church. That's why they don't understand the deeper things. He's not talking about those people. How do we know that? It's going back to verse 12, because he says, by now you ought to be what? Teachers. It means these people have been in the church for quite a while. They've been attending and reading and reading, and by now they have to know everything and be teachers, but they can't. Why? Because they're still feeding on the milk and not on the solid food. So these are not new converts. These are the people that might have been in the church for 20 or 30 years. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in our churches like that, that do not want to move beyond milk. They do not have any appetite for solid foods, because milk, it's much easier to eat than the solid foods. The analogy of needing milk rather than solid food highlights the fact that the Hebrews, they had not grown as they should. They were spiritually immature or stunted. Let me give you an illustration. Over 2,000 years ago, a Greek artist named Timantes, he painted a beautiful picture, and He studied under a respected tutor, and after several years, the teacher's efforts, they paid off when he painted this beautiful painting. What happened after this? Timantes got stuck on this picture, on this painting. He was admiring so much this painting, and he didn't want to move beyond that and do another one. So at one point, what happened one morning, the teacher overnight destroyed the painting. It was a beautiful painting. You can imagine, next morning Timantes comes to admire his painting and gaze on it, and he sees it destroyed. He got very upset, and then the teacher acknowledged, and he said, I did it. I destroyed the painting. And he says, I did it for your own good. That painting was retarding your progress. Start again and see if you can do better than that. Timantes took his teacher's advice and produced, it's called Sacrifice of Iphigenia, which is regarded as one of the finest paintings of antiquity. Our problem sometimes is the same. We achieve a level in our spiritual maturity and we're satisfied with it and refuse to move on further. We're satisfied on this level. It's good. I feel comfortable on this level. Why going further? Maybe like Timantes, we admire our own spiritual condition, and that results in getting stuck there and not moving on. But we need to understand that spiritual growth is what? It's a process. We never stop growing. You always mature. We need to understand that we have not achieved anything yet. We always strive to become better, but we never arrive. We always strive to become better and be more and more like Christ each and every day. So the second symptom of spiritual maturity is people lack appetite for solid food. They don't want to move on to maturity and eat something more solid than just milk. Let's move on to the third symptom of spiritual immaturity. It's found in verse 13. If you go back, chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 13, and it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is what? Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So, the third symptom of spiritual immaturity is lack of skill. Infants don't have skills. Do they have any skills? Well, I can think of a few: crying and eating and other interesting facts there. But those are not skills. Infants don't really have skills. So is with the spiritual infants as well. They don't have any skill. But this is a very particular skill that Paul is talking about here. It says that the problem with spiritual immature people is they don't have a skill in what? In the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness, word, otherwise trans, we can translate the message about righteousness, is that in order for us to be saved, we must be made right with God. Many people think that we must do right things in order to be righteous, and that is the problem. The biblical righteousness works differently. The Bible is very clear that we obtain righteousness by what? By faith, not by doing right things. We obtain righteousness by faith. The first person who was ever pronounced righteous in the Bible was Abraham. And you would think that in the Old Testament, oh, maybe righteousness was by works. I want to disappoint you. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed the Lord and he what? Credited it to him as righteousness. So what did Abraham do? He just believed. Righteousness comes to us by faith, not by doing the right things, doing the good things. Paul, talking about Abraham, says in Romans 4, verse 2 to 4, I would like you to find this verse. It's a very interesting passage. Romans chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. Just a few pages back from Hebrews, but keep your finger there and Hebrews will come back. Romans chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. And it says here, for if Abraham was declared righteous by works, he has something to what? Boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And verse 4 is very interesting. Now to the one who works, his pay is not credited due to grace, but due to what? Obligation. Now, if you work, you are expected to be paid. Why? Because that's the employer's obligation to pay you because you put some work into that. They're not going to just give you money, right? It would be nice not to work and get money, but no, it's an obligation that they have. They have to pay you. They have to reward you for your good work. Now think about this. Paul is saying here that if we believe that we receive righteousness by our good works, then what we are doing is putting an obligation on God to reward us for our good works. Does it make sense to you? If you think that by doing good works, God has to save me, then you're putting an obligation. Every time you do something, God, I did it, you have to do it for me. You have to reward me. But this is not how it works. Righteousness is not a reward, but a gift from God. Only children always want to be rewarded for good things. Don't they? I have two that are like that. They like to be rewarded for good things they do, and so are those who have not grown in their spirituality yet, those who are spiritual infants, they also want to be rewarded for their good works. And that's why Paul says these people, spiritually mature people, they are unskilled in the word of righteousness. The Bible tells us that we are given the righteousness of Christ, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done for us. Amen? That's the only way we get the righteousness of Christ. So, what does it mean to be unskilled in the word of righteousness? It means to have an incorrect understanding of how righteousness works. And unfortunately, there are many people in churches that still don't understand how righteousness works. They have that incorrect understanding. We receive righteousness by faith, not by right doing. The right doing comes into play afterwards. So if you have this misunderstanding of the righteousness of Christ by faith, you're still a spiritual infant. You're still immature in your spiritual walk with Christ. We need to get that straightened out. We need to have a correct understanding of the righteousness of Christ. Let's move to the fourth point. The fourth symptom of spiritual immaturity is found in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. It says there, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both what? Good and evil. Number four, those who are spiritually immature, they lack exercise or training. Let me give you an illustration on Pablo Casals, a very famous cellist. Some of you might know him. He was 95 years old. 95 years old. A young reporter asked him the question, "Mr. Casals, you are 95 and the greatest cellist that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" At 95, he was still practicing 6 hours a day, and he was a very accomplished cellist. And Mr. Casals answered, he says, "Because I think I'm making progress." He was still making progress, even at 95. So if you think you're old, and my life is behind me, and I can't make any progress, don't think that way. In the spiritual exercise, you can also make progress. There is always room for improvement, amen? We can always grow in our spiritual walk with Christ. Now, your goal is to make progress every day of your life, but only by training we can make progress. Why do the athletes train? Because they want to make progress. They want to always improve. They are never satisfied with the level they are at. They want to improve, get a faster time, next time even better. That's why they train. That's why they exercise every day. It is not an easy thing to train a baby to eat solid foods. Have you tried to do that? Oh, yes. We just finished the second one trying to train him. He's still making a big mess when he's eating. All right? But it's hard to train a baby to eat solid foods, to move them from milk to the solid foods. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes discipline. And a lot of patience. Amen. But the more you do it and keep at it with consistency, the better the kids learn it, right? You have to do it with consistency. Keep at it. Don't give up when he made a big mess or she made a big mess. Training takes repetition. The same is in our spiritual growth. It will take time. It will take effort. It will take patience. Sometimes we'll become messy, but we need to be consistent and keep doing it. Keep doing it over and over again. We have to train. We have to exercise. Now, if we go to Hebrews 5, 12 to 14, this passage of analogy of milk and solid food, I want to stop a little bit and talk about this because this is very important. Usually when we think about milk or solid food, we apply it to the Word of God, both of them, but we make the mistake and most of us immediately get the impression that there are two different types of the Word of God here, two different types of truth. Milk would probably apply to more basic truths, while solid food would apply to what? More complex truths, right? That's how our mind thinks. But if we look at the context, it's not so. It's a little bit different. And let me try to persuade you that it's not that way. The analogy of needing milk rather than solid food highlights the fact that the Hebrews had not grown as they should. As babies feed on milk, Christians feed on what? On the Word of God, on the teachings, on the truth of the Word of God. Just as babies ought to progress from milk to solid food, so Christians ought to mature, which they do as they put into practice the basic Christian teachings. It's practical application that becomes the solid food. It's not two different types of truths, because the truth is what? Is one. The truth, the principles of the Bible are the same. But we must understand, if they do not obey, if we do not obey the elementary teachings by practicing them, they will not be able to grow into their spiritual maturity. So, for the Christians, solid food is the practicing or exercising of the truths of the Bible. It is the application or putting into practice that what we know from the Word of God. So the relationship between milk and solid food is that the solid food is a deeper application of the milk. Do we understand what I'm trying to explain here? It's not two different types of truth. It's not one just more shallow, another one is deeper. We need to think deeper. It's not that. The milk is the teaching. The solid food is the application, putting it into practice. And this is where the problem comes for every Christian. And this was the problem since the beginning. That's why Paul addresses this. He says, you know the truth. You have known this for many years. What's the problem? It's putting it into practice, living it into your, you know, in everyday life. That's the problem in this passage. And that's, unfortunately, the problem with many spiritually immature Christians. They do not put the teachings of the Word of God into practice. Let me read you a statement from Sons and Daughters of God, page 330. It says here, we are not always to remain children in our knowledge and experience. What is experience? Application of the truth, of the knowledge. We are not always to remain children in our knowledge and experience in spiritual things. When a person becomes of age, we expect from him a corresponding intelligence according to his years and opportunities. But if we expect this manifestation of growth, growing intelligence in the child as he advances in years, should we not also expect to see the Christian grow in grace and experience? Very good quote. If we expect our children to grow, shouldn't we expect the same from Christians? Amen? I don't hear very loud amen. If we expect our children to grow and mature, the same is expected from every child of God. The same is expected from every one of us. We have to grow. We have to move from just knowing and understanding the truth to what? To practicing, putting, and that's the solid food. That's where it becomes hard. Remember I said eating milk is easier than chewing the solid food? That's where the hardness comes, because putting into practice, it's always hard. So the fourth point here we made was that spiritually mature people lack what? Training and exercise. Let's look at the last one. It's found still in verse 14, and I want to go back to verse 14 of Hebrews 5, and it says here, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritually mature people lack discernment. That's number five symptom of spiritually mature people, a lack of discernment. Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with what? Every wind of doctrine. Spiritual discernment is the skill of separating divine truth from error. Immature believers are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Have you seen people that fold to the back, to the left, or left and to the right in every little doctrine that comes up? They hear something, they're over there. Oh, that's the gospel truth. They hear something else, that's the gospel truth. Spiritually mature people do not have this discernment, and it's a divine gift to learn to discern error from truth. Many in the church have only a shallow knowledge of God's word. And I want to make a comparison here once again with kids. You had babies, you know, crawl on the floor, right? So as they crawl on the floor, what do? They put everything in their mouth. Everything, even if it's bad or good. You have to watch those kids because they put what? Everything in their mouth, because they don't have discernment. They lack this ability to discern good from bad. The same is spiritually mature Christians. They swallow up everything that comes. They just crawl and put everything in their mouth. They eat everything that's out there because they have lack of discernment, which is a spiritual gift. Many of you are discerning in the everyday affairs of life. I know a lot of people you see in the stores doing what? Reading all the labels. How much sugar, how much this, how much that. Because why? You want to discern if it's good or bad for you, right? I know a lot of you exercise this discernment when it comes to reading the fine print in the stock market report, because you want to see what's good or what's bad to invest or not. You exercise that discernment in everyday life. Some of you, maybe you're highly analytical about politics and can accurately assess the domestic and foreign issues. And right now, with what's going on in the United States, everybody tries to analyze that, but it's impossible. It's almost impossible to analyze what's going on there. But we try to do that in everyday life, to analyze everything, to have that discernment. What about trying to have the discernment in spiritual things? All of this is all right and it's fine, but can you discern between divine truth and error, between good and evil? If not, ask God to give you the gift of spiritual discernment, and He will give it to you freely. In conclusion, I read this illustration about a little girl. She came to her father and she asked her father, "Daddy, are you still growing?" What would you say as a father? He said, "No, honey, why do you ask?" And then she says, "Because, Daddy, the top of your head is coming through your hair," she says. I would like to address the same question to you this morning. Are you still growing? Even though it's humorous, although humorous, the little girl saw the evidence of her father's growth, right? Even though it was funny, she still saw the evidence of that growth in her father's life. The question is there any evidence in your life of spiritual growth? Do you show any evidence of spiritual growth in your life? The lack of spiritual growth, let me just conclude with this, is a very dangerous thing for Christians. It's very, very dangerous. Len Elmore, she says, "There were times my immaturity kept me from being all I wanted to be." And let me paraphrase this. Our spiritual immaturity keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. Let me say it again. Our spiritual immaturity, that's why it's very dangerous. Our spiritual immaturity keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. And if you forget everything, remember this. The goal of every Christian is to grow more and more like Jesus each and every day. Amen? That's what God wants us to be. This is the will of God for our lives. So the question is, are you maturing in your faith? Or you stopped growing? Are you still drinking milk, or you have moved to the solid foods? Are you a spiritual adult or a spiritual infant? Remember, God's will for you is to constantly grow and not remain spiritual infants forever. May God bless you. Amen.